Welcome and thank you for joining us for the service at Plymouth Presbyterian Church in St. Helens, Oregon. This is the January 25th, 2026 service at Plymouth, the third Sunday after Epiphany. The sermon will be delivered by Pastor Peter Blank.
The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?
We gather in the presence of the living God, who is our light in the darkness and our shelter in every storm.
Let us open our hearts and minds in worship. And let's also sing hymn number 442, The Church's One Foundation.
Next is the hymn, The Church's One Foundation. Next is the hymn, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus.
Thank you.
The Old Testament scripture reading, as Pastor says, from Psalm 27. This can be found in the Pew Bibles on page 509. I will be reading a version from the New Revised Standard Version, updated edition. I'll be reading verses 1 and then 4 through 9. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? One thing I asked of the Lord, this I seek, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in the Lord's temple. For the Lord will hide me in the Lord's shelter in the day of trouble. The Lord will conceal me under the cover of the Lord's tent. The Lord will set me high on a rock. Now my head is lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in the Lord's tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. Come, my heart says, seek the Lord's face. Your face, Lord, do I seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger, you who have been my help. Do not cast me off. Do not forsake me, O God of my salvation. This is the word of the Lord.
Next is the hymn, Take My Life and Let It Be.
Do you have more?
We have four.
The revised version. You know, the Methodist hymnal often has 12 verses per hymn. And we Presbyterians tend to say, let's cut it to the most important ones rather than go on and on. So with that, I'll give you that excuse as to why there are no verses here beyond 1-3. We turn to our New Testament epistle reading, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10 through 18. This is Paul writing to the church at Corinth, a church that has many divisions. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in agreement, and that there be no divisions among you, but you be knit together in the same mind and the same purpose. For it has been made clear to me by Chloe's people that there are quarrels among you. You, my brothers and sisters, what I mean is that each of you says, well, I belong to Paul. Another says, I belong to Apollos. And another says, I belong to Cephas. Or some are saying, I belong to Christ. Has Christ been divided? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one can say that you are baptized by my name. I did also baptize the house of Stephanas, but beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to proclaim the gospel, not with elegant wisdom, so that the cross of Christ might not be emptied of its power. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. This is the word of the Lord. It would be this morning that my remote, which I rely on regularly, has dead batteries and is not working, and reminding me to not get so comfortable as to be tripped up by certain small items that I rely on, and then suddenly, oh, that doesn't work today. But this does. Today I want to preach about the light that keeps us together. From the Psalms, the psalmist writes, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Those words sound very confident, almost bold, and they are. Yet they're not spoken from a place of ease. Psalm 27 comes from a life that knows threat, knows danger, and even uncertainty. In the psalm, the enemies are named. Fear is close at hand. The psalmist does not pretend otherwise. You know it when you have fear dwelling near. Many of us carry fear, and more so these days with what's going on in our country. The fear that hits us, sometimes quietly, sometimes heavily. We live at a time when news itself can feel relentless. We have people we hear being shot during immigration enforcement. Alex Pretty is the latest, yesterday. We fear voiced by communities who wonder whether safety and justice still equally apply. We hear concerns about leaders who seem willing to stretch or even ignore limits on their power. We hear about global uncertainty, economic instability, and fragile alliances following high-profile gatherings like the meeting that just happened in Davos, Switzerland. And even if we don't follow every detail, we feel the weight of it. We know the tension. We notice how easily conversations turn sharp and how even trust itself erodes. And then when we come to church, we come not because we've got it all figured out. We come because we need light. Psalm 27 doesn't rush past fear. It names it. And then it says, "The Lord is my light." Light does not deny darkness. In fact, light allows darkness help define what light is. Light makes it possible for us to see. Light keeps us from losing our footing when ground feels uneasy, uneven, unsteady. The psalmist then speaks of the most important lines of all of Scripture. "One thing I ask of the Lord, one thing I seek." Just one thing. Not a long list, not a solution to every problem, and certainly not about that tomorrow will bring it. One thing: to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord. It's a prayer for nearness, It's a prayer that when life feels complicated, faith often becomes very simple. We know what it's like to long to know that God is near. We long to know that we're not facing the troubles of this world alone. What, too much glare? Oh, wait, I resemble that too. We're not facing the world alone. Many of us reach a stage in life where illusions fall away. We know that we can't control everything, and we know our strength is limited. We know as well that plans change. And still God invites us to seek that one thing that endures. That one thing is God's presence. Faith is not about having answers ready when the news breaks. Faith is about knowing that where we need to turn when fear rises. Faith is about orienting our lives toward the light. The church in Corinth was facing its own kind of anxiety. They struggled. Their struggle was not persecution or poverty. It was being divided among itself. People were lining up behind different leaders, different voices, different ways of understanding what mattered most. And Paul writes to them with urgency and care, saying, "I appeal to you." And then he goes on to say that there be no divisions among you. That can sound unrealistic. After all, people disagree. People always have disagreed. Where two or more are gathered, we have at least three opinions. Paul's concern runs deeper than disagreement. He sees a community losing its center. And so he asks this simple question: has Christ been divided? In other words, when fear pulls us apart, what do we cling to? Where are we placing our trust? The world and society offer substitutes for our security. One is power. Another is certainty. Another is strong leaders. And another is clear sides. Paul points the Corinthians somewhere else. He points them back to the cross. The cross itself is not impressive by world standards. It does not look strong. It doesn't promise control. It reveals a God who chooses love over dominance. A God who enters human suffering rather than standing above it and looking on from a distance. A God who meets us in our vulnerability. And everyone who stands at the cross stands on the same ground. No one earns their place. No one stands higher than another. All who stand there receive grace. And that matters in times like these. When fear is high, it's easy to retreat into camps and places that feel comfortable with people who agree with us on every point. It's easy to see others as problems rather than as neighbors, or better yet, as brothers and sisters. It is easy to forget what we share. Christ's light works differently. Light does not push people apart. Light helps us see where we are standing, and where we are standing is together. Christ's light shows us our fear without shaming us for being fearful. It invites humility instead of rivalry. Coming from the family that I do with 8 children, 6 of us boys, there was a good deal of rivalry. And every time we have a gathering in the fellowship hall and some kind of game that includes competition, I need to go into those games with the apology that you will see a competitive spirit rise in me. And times when I don't expect it, let alone recognize it. I lived with rivalry. And to show my older brothers that I could outdo them, outbest them, outsmart them, oh, it was the best day. It invites us to be humble instead of in competition with each other. Christ's light reminds us that our first loyalty is not to an opinion or to a singular leader, but to Christ. For a church like this one, that is good news, my friends. This congregation has known many seasons, seasons of growth, seasons of loss, seasons of confidence, as well as seasons of uncertainty. And what has held us together has never been perfection. It has not been certainty about the future. It has been presence. Christ's presence here in worship. Christ's presence at hospital beds. Christ's presence in grief and in quiet faithfulness. The same light that has guided this community through years of change is still here. Psalm 27 moves us toward a prayer softly spoken. Lord, do not hide your face from me. It's not a demand. It is a plea, a deeply human plea. And the scripture answers it, not with explanations, not with guarantees, but with presence. God does not promise that the world will suddenly feel safe. God promises not to abandon us in it. And so we keep seeking the one thing. We keep turning toward the light. We keep gathering, praying, listening, and trusting, sometimes with confidence and sometimes with trembling. We keep seeking. And in a world that feels divided and unsettled, the church does not exist to have all the answers. The church exists to bear witness to the light. That light steadies us. That light humbles us. That light keeps us together. And that light has not gone out. It has brought us this far. It remains with us still. And that light will carry us forward, one faithful step after another. In places of worship, in the grocery store, in our neighborhoods, and even when we feel alone, it will carry us forward. This is the light we have found, and this is the light that keeps us together. Amen.
Standing next is the hymn, Lord of the Dance.
Yeah. confidence of being your children. And we pray together the prayer Christ taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Let us take our morning's offering.
Next is the hymn, Lord of the Dance.
Friends, listen to the needs of others and leave this house ready to seek, ready to find and follow our Savior. May the grace, hope, peace, and love of God, the Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer be with you all, now and forever. Amen.
the world with truth and grace, and may